We're going to discuss the alien reproduction vehicle. And a lot of people say, well, what are we talking about here? We'll get into great detail about all of this. We have some great guests, kind of really the gold standard when it comes to investigative reporting, in my opinion. We have Jim Mars on the line from Arlington, Texas. And we'll talk to Jim not only about what we're going to talk about here, but as far as the alien reproduction vehicles, but also he's got a new project, I understand. And, of course, this is the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. And he, talking about gold standards, wrote the book on the best conspiracy investigative reporting, in my opinion. We have Grant Cameron lined up, and we on the line from Canada. And Grant is one of those guys that never gives up. He gets in there, keeps digging for the facts, and keeps coming up with new finds all the time. You'll always find Grant on the cutting edge of an investigation. If he's into it, he's into it 120%. Now, later on, I've invited Mark McCandish to be here. Now, Mark and Gordon Novell, who we're going to talk about a little bit here, is instrumental in investigating and trying to develop a company to come up with funding, which is almost impossible, to find out exactly what powered these UFOs. And Mark was inside with this group. And he had some not necessarily great experiences, and he had some but I think he'll add something to the conversation. And so I invited him to join us a little later. But right now, Jim Mars, how are you?
I'm fine, Jerry. Thank you for having me today. This is a very interesting topic and one I think everybody needs to be aware of. You know, if I thought that the world is the way it is because that's the way it is and there wasn't any other way, then I still might not be happy with everything going on, but at least I could resign myself and be stoic and say, well, you know, we just have to put up with the energy and the technology we have because that's all we have. But I know, Gordon Novell knows, Grant Cameron knows, you know, thousands, perhaps millions others know, there are better ways of doing things, and the only reason it's not being done is because somewhere somebody doesn't want it done.
Before we even get into the subject and bring Grant into the conversation, you're almost through with a book, I understand. Can you talk about that? Can you tell us what it's about?
Well, actually, I've got one that just came out within the past month.
Well, okay, let's plug that one first.
And that one is... that one is my latest book, which is Our Occulted History. And I think y'all are going to love that one because it goes all the way back to the Big Bang and comes forward with the evidence to show that the development of the human species may have been kick-started along the way by others, shall we say. Okay? And in fact, what this does is offer a third alternative to the conflict that's been going on between the Darwinist and the creationist, okay? It's a little bit of a combination of both with a little bit of something else thrown into the mix, and it's been doing quite well and was actually received better than I thought it was going to be because I thought it was kind of a far-out topic, but I do have lots of evidence for this. And then I think what you're talking about is I am putting the finishing touches on an updated version of my Kennedy assassination book, Crossfire, The Plot to Kill Kennedy. And this one I think is going to be well received too because I start off by putting in a question that I've been asked for years, which is, will we ever know the truth about what happened to John F. Kennedy? And my answer is yes. If you'll read my book, I'll be the first to admit we may not ever know all of the details, exactly who pulled the trigger, exactly who paid the money, exactly where they moved to. But in general, you can know the truth of what happened. It's there. It's obvious. It's in our face. And you will learn that by reading my new updated version of Crossfire.
When do you expect that to be out on the market?
I'm not certain. It's coming out from Basic Books, imprint of Perseus Books, and I think they're talking about, well, I know they want to have it out before the November 50th anniversary of the assassination, so I'm thinking they're trying to get it out by, say, the end of September, 1st of October.
Okay, and we'll be talking more about that as we go along. Grant Cameron, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm kind of honored to be on the show with your guests here, because these are guys that I've sort of, when I go through my research, I've watched these guys and read their stuff, and then to be on a show with them, it's kind of an honor for me. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, Grant, you've earned your way here. Jim, I think he's one of the top new guys on the block, and we say new guys. Grant's been doing this for decades.
Right. Well, I was getting ready to say I don't think he's a Johnny Come Lately. I don't know if he's been at it as long as I have. because mine, I go back 40, almost 50 years. But he's certainly put in his time.
Yeah, 37 years.
There you go. We're pretty close.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting the way some of these topics tweak our interest, and we suddenly get to be known for certain things.
Yeah.
Some of these things, and Jim, you kind of alluded to it with this book about evolution and maybe not evolution, maybe we were planted here or whatever. What's the name of that book, by the way? The one that's out now.
Our Occulted History. And let me quickly point out that when I use the word occulted, this book is not about zombies or werewolves or witches or anything what we normally think of as the occult. I'm using it in the astronomical sense. When the moon eclipses the sun, that's called an occultation. It occults the sun, which simply means it hides or masks the sun. So our occulted history is about the history that's been hidden from us when we go through the school system.
And I've never really talked to you, Grant, about it, but how do you feel about this subject that Jim's talking about? I've always kind of taken it for granted that it wasn't exactly evolution all the way, but it wasn't exactly creationism either.
I've sort of gotten into that myself. I mean, in the I sort of look at the scientific tie-ins with consciousness. I'm doing that whole thing now, and sort of get into the idea that a lot of the stuff, when you look at science, is actually belief systems, like religions, that they basically have these belief systems, and you sort of assume that they're right, they're smart, and then when you start looking at it, you realize that they're as far off as anybody, and that a lot of this stuff we just take for granted, like I call it the Powerball theory of evolution, this sort of, you know, that a lot of this stuff is just sort of made up, like the crash test dummies of the Roswell thing, that some of it's pretty stupid when you look at it. And I think we have to redo the whole thing and start to look at what's real, what's not real in terms of evolution and creationism and that sort of stuff, that it's a very deep field, and to me it ties into UFOs.
You know, Jim and Grant, go ahead, Jim, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, he's absolutely correct. They've done study after study, and when you talk about the scientific evidence, one of the things I'll point out in my new book, Our Occulted History, is how that science has been suppressed. There are tantalizing evidence, sacred sites, artifacts, all over the world, all the way down through history, that point to a very different history than what we've been taught in school, and yet this gets sequestered away. For example, one of the examples I use is the Egyptian artifacts found in the Grand Canyon back about 1909, and they were snapped up by the Smithsonian Institution and hidden away. And every time I think about that, I think about the scene from Indiana Jones where they take the Ark of the Covenant and put it back in a warehouse somewhere, right? But apparently this is exactly what's going on, and a lot of people don't realize that the Smithsonian Institute is an agency of the United States government. So whoever controls the United States government controls our history, and to a large extent through grants and through foundations, they control not only the government, but the education process in our universities. And I know from talking to people in the fields of anthropology and archaeology that if you try to go in certain areas, you are at best discouraged. And at worst, they throw you out of the department if you try to talk about things that they don't want to hear about.
Now, when we let's get to the subject at hand, and this is, I want to see if I am on the right track with you guys. I kind of feel in the last half of the 20th century, say from Roswell forward, there was a deeply secret group that was formed here in the United States, and they did some reverse engineering on extraterrestrial spacecraft, and I feel after 47 years, 50 years, now it's 70 years almost. Maybe it is 70. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but it's getting pretty damn close. And how many people have died testing this stuff? We don't know that either. There may be 100 pilots or more that have died over this. And then the billions of dollars that have been spent, and what do we got to show for it? A bunch of toys where some people put it away and will never release it to us? I mean, that's what it appears to me that's happening. You guys agree with me on that, or is there something else I'm missing?
No, I this is Jim Mars. I definitely agree with you. In fact, this is nothing new, and we're seeing the use of exotic technology today that is generally not known to the public, and it goes way back. Let me quote you something that was said to the Senate Democratic Caucus on January the 7th, 1958, by future President Lyndon B. Johnson, who at that time was a senior and very powerful senator. And here's his quote. He says, "Control of space means control of the world. From space, the masters of infinity would have the power to control the Earth's weather, to cause drought and flood, to change the tides and raise the levels of the sea, to divert the Gulf Stream and change the climate to frigid." And there is something more powerful than the ultimate weapon. That is the ultimate position, the position of total control over the Earth that lies somewhere in outer space. So they knew it then, and they know it now, and they're working to gain that control. But we don't get to hear about it. We're just expected to watch TV and pay our taxes to support their efforts.
Yeah, Grant, you've been releasing some things on your website that have been pretty interesting about this whole subject. And evidently, in one of your postings, you talk about 2003 being a year of the United States Central Intelligence Agency, along with many other, I guess, sitting U.S. presidents, largely were denied at that time in 2003. They didn't know much about this. Did I misread that, or do you still stand by that?
I'm not sure which article you're referring to. I mean, it's kind of a thing like Jim's talking about. We're here to pay the taxes and to just sort of be the sheeple and do what we're told to do. Even the secret is a secret. That's why it's so hard to get at this, and why I'm so interested in anything that has to do with the CIA or the White House to try to get some indication of exactly who's controlling the secret. Because my experience was that I had a number of very close sightings, so I knew there was something to this. I knew it was probably extraterrestrial, and I just have been spending my whole career trying to figure out who knows where the bodies are buried, who controls this whole thing. And it comes down to even the secret is a secret. Like, even the fact that they have a secret is something that they want the rest of the world to think this is all nonsense, because you're basically trying to put it together for military purposes. And if you give up the secret, then the Chinese and the Russians and whoever else all say, well, you know, you mean this is for real? And then they start working on it. So you want it in this sort of a quagmire darkness that nobody can figure it out. So it's very, very hard to figure out who is involved. And that's why I got interested in the Novell thing, because Novell was making these claims that he had this backing from the CIA and from the White House and stuff like that. And that was sort of my interest, was trying to go up into those agencies and try to figure out who knew where the bodies were buried. And that's why I became so interested in Gordon Novell.
Hey, Grant, in other words, and I've always said this for a long time, the one rule of the game is don't give away the game.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're not keeping anything from the Russians or the Chinese. Do you think they don't know about all this?
Oh, sure.
They're actively involved in looking at it, too. The secrecy is to keep the American public in the dark. And let me tell you why. I don't think the rulers, and when I say the rulers of the United States, I'm not necessarily talking about the politicians who take their orders. I'm talking about the people behind the scenes that actually call the shots.
Yeah.
I don't think they care if we know that there's aliens out there somewhere, okay? What they care about is that if we know, if the public knew beyond any question of a doubt that there's aliens out there, then they also know that there's alternative technology out there which endangers these folks' monopolies over energy and medicine and communication and transportation.
Sure. It's all about the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
all
and
the
control.
Money.
Yeah.
Well, you know, both of you, Grant and Jim, there was a document out there at one time called Supreme Cosmic Secret. You got to add the secret group, the MJ-12 or whoever they are. They're pretty blatant about telling you things. They just don't explain them, you know?
Yeah.
It's you can't really, I guess best secrets are hidden in public, maybe.
That's true, because then if somebody pops something open, they can always say, well, shoot, that's not a secret. That was in the National Enquirer.
Yeah. I've said this for a number of years. I think there is a program to disclose the basic story, what's called the core story. And that they want it out there, but the classified aspects of exactly the technology and the mind control and all this kind of stuff that they're working on, that's the kind of stuff they protect. But they're not really too worried about you and I and Jim sort of talking about this, because there may become a day when this thing sort of unravels, and then they don't want people being way back in 1947. They want you sort of a position, like Jim says, where they can say, well, you know, this has always been out there. Even John Alexander talks about that. He says, you know, that disclosure is there, that it's out there, which isn't really true. But that's sort of the idea, is that, you know, it's not that big a deal if it does sort of get out of control.
Yeah, I was blown away one time doing an interview with John Alexander, and because it was on, I was doing a documentary on the MJ-12. And I actually had him as a counterbalance, because he was arguing there was no such thing is MJ-12, a group that was in control of the UFO issue. And right there on camera, he says, no, I don't believe there was an MJ-12. He said, but now UFOs, those are real. And I said, whoa. But now, let me say, what do you guys think about this? I think we're in a reverse conditioning process, and here's why. Polls, national polls in the 1950s, showed that virtually no one believed there was any life outside of the Earth. Well, today, the national polls show quite the opposite. The vast majority of people, 80, 85%, now say they do believe that there's life outside of the Earth. That's quite a turnaround in about 50 years, 60 years. But see, they need that because if you listen to what has been quoted to Wernher von Braun, he said back in the 70s that at that time, the big common enemy was international communism. He said, when that doesn't work anymore, and of course communism collapsed in 89, he said it's going to be terrorists probably from the Middle East. Well, here we are. And then he said, when that no longer works as a unifying defense factor, he said it's going to be a threat from space. And of course, we've already seen Ronald Reagan get up in front of the United Nations and say, what if there was a threat from space and we have to band all the nations together to fight for the common good, you know? So how can they make a threat from space seem credible if nobody believes there's any life out there? So we've been in a conditioning process to, as Grant said, understand the core story that, yes, they are out there. So that in one of these days, in the not too distant future, I think they're gonna say, "Oops, they are out there," you know, and they want to eat you. So, you know, band together and take, you know, fall into this new world order, so that we can defend the Earth against these terrorists from outer space. And unfortunately, a large percentage of the public will fall for it.
Yeah, and it has worked fairly well in terms of, you were talking about this thing about creationism and evolution. I tell a story when I lecture about Dr. Victor Stenger, who is one of the sort of the high priests of the new atheist movement. And he was in an interview one time. He was sort of very upset about what he calls the random theory of evolution that is taught in schools, and yet scientists say, well, it doesn't threaten the concept of God, that we can teach evolution, but it doesn't affect the threat of God. And he said, this is ridiculous, this is absolutely insane, I'm going to write a book. And he's very upset about this whole thing. And then he said, only 16% of people we teach it in school, and only 16% of people in America believe this random theory of evolution, that there is no God and it was all evolution. And I'm thinking, as soon as you said that, I thought, well, man, and you followed, you were doing pretty good. You know, we got 70-80% of people believe there's stuff in outer space. We got 40% of people believe that UFOs are real. We believe that, 70% of people believe the government is covering up. And I'm thinking, well, we're actually doing pretty good here compared to people who have actually their theory being taught at school.
So in other words, more people believe in UFOs than they believe in evolution, but one's being taught in schools and the other is not.
Exactly. Yeah. So the program is working.
Well, you know what? In researching for our occulted history, I went back and was reading and studying through Charles Darwin. Darwin himself, see, a lot has been attributed to him. That he himself didn't really say, like he never did specifically say that we are descended from apes. That was something that was just attributed to him and his work. But what he did say was, if you cannot prove an uninterrupted fossil line, leading from the earliest up to us, then my theory doesn't work. Well, they haven't been able to prove an unbroken line. There's breaks all through it, so his theory doesn't work. And yet, that's what we're being taught as scientific gospel.
Exactly.
Let's get back to back engineering, and I want to talk a little bit about Ram Gravionics, LLC. And I know Jim Mars, you and I have visited with Gordon a lot, and you even actually worked with him on the thing. You created this briefing paper along with Rich Dolan, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and when I tell our listeners exactly the background behind that, what we're talking about here.
Let me see if I can do that in a concise manner. It's not real easy because it stretches out over a period of years. But there was a time when Gordon had some time to himself. I think the reality is he was serving some time, and he read extensively, and he looked at all kinds of things, particularly scientific papers, and then blended those, the science we know about, with the science that people like Grant Cameron talk about, their personal experiences, and then whistleblowers within the military, within the government. And he came to realize that the government had possession of what he called ARVs, alien reproduction vehicles, okay? In other words, flying saucers, or craft that was not ours, and that they had been duplicating it and reproducing these and trying to make them work. I think the famous case of the giant globe spewing radiation down near Houston was one of these efforts, surrounded by helicopters. This was a case, apparently, of where we had tried to use alien technology and was trying to figure out how to make it work. There's also a lot of films and a lot of testimony from, of course, Area 51 about things flying out of there that were doing impossible-seeming maneuvers. So he knew they had this, and so he began to work at that and came up with what he called a circuit, which he said would create a vortex energy field, and which is the propulsion system. Not long back, I saw a science fiction movie about a future trip to Mars, and they had their jet engines, and they were cutting them on, and they were cutting them off, and they were blasting dust off the Martian surface as they tried to slow their descent and land. That is old technology, folks. No, the UFOs travel in energy fields, and this is and within the energy field, gravity is nullified. Also, what we're finding out is that gravity and time are interconnected. Throughout the UFO literature, we find that when the UFO comes over, car engines stop. And then when the UFO flies on, the car engines start again. But nowhere does anybody say, oh, and I turned the key on and started the car again. when the field comes over and the car is within this energy field, time is frozen. The pistons freeze. Everything just stops. And this also accounts for the issue of missing time in the UFO field. Somebody says, well, I encountered this UFO on my way home from work about 6 o'clock, and then I didn't get home till 7, but I only lived 10 minutes away from my sighting, you know. Well, that's because when they were in the energy field, time had stopped for them. And that seems to be the case, and Gordon pretty well figured all this out and decided he had the secret for devising a circuit that could create one of these gravity nullifying energy fields. The problem was, he was one guy, he didn't have any money, so he went and started trying to put together a coalition of both scientists and production people, engineers, and he did. He put quite a team together, but nowhere did they quite have the money that it would take to go into production with something like this. I know he started at one point with a fella to build a prototype, but I'm not sure that ever came to fruition, and there was a number of stumbling blocks thrown in his way. So that seems to be the story, and he set up this company, RAM, and that was reproduction alien vehicle, replicated ARV machine, actually is what it stands for, RAM. And because he was going to duplicate the duplicate alien reproduction machine or vehicle that he had reason to believe was in the possession of the United States government. I know he even wrote letters to Henry Kissinger. He wrote letters to Zbigniew Brzezinski. He wrote letters to the Rockefellers. And he basically, his argument was, we know this technology exists, and we know that you know that this technology exists, and it needs to be released to the world so that we, all of humanity, can benefit from all of this. And needless to say, he got no replies from anybody.
How much do you think we've spent trying to back engineer something like this? $100 billion? Is that unreasonable? Or is it much more than that? Or?
Well, not only that, you have to count in all the money that we wasted throwing at NASA for big old rockets and studies of stuff, space shots that were unnecessary and actually obsolete in view of this type of technology. But, as Grant said, it's all about the money. And so they don't want to interrupt the money flow. So, we see this all over. We see this, in medicine, for example. There can be a simple cure for some disease, cancer, for example. There are cures for cancer, but they're not being released because there's more people making a living off of cancer than dying from it.
Yeah, I just recently down in Houston, the medical board withdrew their lawsuit against a doctor who says he has a cancer cure and has had it for 15 years.
Yeah.
And the FDA was behind trying to kick him out of the medical profession.
Well, FDA and the USDA, I mean, they're now sending armored troops against farmers who are trying to sell fresh milk. I mean, where in the heck are we? You know, somebody's controlling this country that obviously does not have the best interests of the public in mind.
When we talk about that's the problem I find, Jim and Grant, with this whole thing. I just have trouble wrapping my arms around it because it's such an egregious thing they're doing. Just think of what a great society we would have, to choose words that Lyndon Johnson used. But the point is, we would, if we didn't have to pay for exorbitant petroleum and other costs, energy costs. Look at how much it costs now just to cool your house.
Well, wait a minute. Have you thought about this? When I was a kid, I worked in a grocery store in Kroger for Kroger's groceries. And if somebody had come in and said, "Do you carry bottled water?" I would have laughed at them because, hey, you know, bottled water, are you kidding me? Water comes out of the garden hose, right?
Right.
But today, whole shelves, whole aisles are filled with bottled water, and it's all being controlled by one of a handful of corporations, primarily Coca-Cola and Perrier. And they're getting control over the whole world's water supply, And if you look at it, you know, the way it's bottled and sold, a gallon of water costs more than a gallon of gasoline.